ശിഷ്യപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജികാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിധാന ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്ക് ബ്രഹ്മാചാര്യ ശ്രീദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ നീലഞ്ഞ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമരാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോപുർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാം ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
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 സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹരഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി ശ്രീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരി മനോഹരദേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വരേ വേഷാനാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത് പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യാ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസേതോന്വയാതിതരതശ്ചാത്തേഷു വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ദാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഭുഹകം സത്യം വരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോചിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം ദാവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി ഹൃദയക്കും വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യനേത്രകൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷഭിത്തക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ബലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭൂവിഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതുവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹാദരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാൽപദീപമതിഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയിൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനനിന്ദോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദപ്രജ സ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശായാസം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദിവോനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരഭുജരാജചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതി സുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം പാദാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം ഭൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലങ്കൈദീഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ മം വത്വാ മനസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന ഭാര്യാദായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദനം പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം ഹംസചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാചേന്ദ്രജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോത്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഗോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രദ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലങ്കൈരീകിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്യന്ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈസാംഗപദൈർക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം
ഗോവിന്ദ
യ ഏവ ഇമം ലോകം അതികരാളവദന അന്ധകാരം സംജ്ഞ അജഗര ഗ്രഹഗിലിതം മൃതകമിവ വിചേതനം അവലോക്യാനുകമ്പയ പരമകാരുണിക ഈക്ഷയോത്താപ്യ ഹരഹരന സമനം ശ്രേയസി സ്വധർമാഖ്യ ആത്മാവസ്ഥാനെ പ്രവർത്തയത്യവനിപതിരിവ അസാധൂനാം ഭയം ഉദീരയൻ നടതി. യെസ്റ്റർഡേ വെൻ വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് യജ്ഞവൽക്യ മഹർഷി He is saying here that only the glories of Krishna is spoken in these verses. And if we think about the way Yajnavalkya Maharshi has spoken, he is seeing the absolute truth, Krishna, in the sun god in this particular way. So he is saying that the Sarveshwara or the controller of all Krishna's manifestation is the sun. Krishna's manifestation is the sun in this universe. And as he mentioned before, because the sunshine is reaching everywhere, every living entity is able to execute its swadharmam in that way. That they are giving several examples, the lotus flower, the sunflower, and many flowers, they all come and they get their energy as soon as the sun comes. How the lotus flower opens up, and because of the presence of the sunshine. And in the similar way, everybody gets some energy from the sun. Practically, the source of all our energy is the sun god. And wherever we look, we will find that Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying, whichever directions people are looking, from all directions, the living entities are offering their gratitude to the sun god for giving them the energy to function. So practically they are seeing as a direct manifestation of the truth. Satyam param dhimahi, Bhagavatam says, that satyam, a manifestation of that in a visual form in front of us, is this sun god. So and that is why the ancestors or the rishis also, Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savidur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yavana Prachodayat. In that way, they offered their respects to the sun god. So, and with that sangalpam, with that understanding, any upasana that is performed to the sun god will never become a waste. That's why he said that in the 68th verse, Yaduhavava Vivudarshava Savidaradaspati Anisavanam Aharaha Amnaya Vidino Pradishta Pradishtama Namanam Akila Durida Vrijina Bijava Varjana Bhagavata Samabhidimahi Tabana Mandalam. So those who are worshipping the sun in that way, all their distress will be removed, and knowing this, they offered their respects to the sun god. So what Yajnavalkya has done, he has also, based on the same traditions, even before Yajnavalkya's time, they were offering respects to sun, and he did exactly the same thing. He is saying there that one who maintains everything and one who controls everything, everyone's life, that Sangalpam, Ishvara Sangalpam, and that's what you will find when you look at the sun planet. So everything in this creation is dependent on the sun to some extent. So they survive here because of the presence of the sun. If you ask the question, where did they all come from? They are saying that even the origin of all these living entities is from the sun, because the Saurya Urjam, the solar energy, is what transforms into everything, in the energy in everybody. So that is why they say that our origin is also from the sun, in the sense that the energy from the sun is what energizes us, and therefore, so even though we remain like this, the source of the origin of this body also is from the sun. In this way, if you look at it, like in the Bhagavatam says, Janmadhyasya yataha, Janmadhyasya yadonvayaditaradascharteshavityasvarat. So that living force, that is how it is mentioned in that first verse in the Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasya yataha, everything where it is coming from, and you can connect that with the planet sun also. So they also address sun in that way. That first verse in the Bhagavatam is also referring to the sun. It is commented like that. So that is why it is said, in throughout the Vedam, you will find that this worship of the sun spoken. Varenyam, Vargaha, all these things. That means that for whose Varenyam? That the Krishna who is present in the sun, Surya Bhagavan. So very clearly it is explained in the Vedam, and this is the only one reason for that the energy for all living entities to survive here and their existence is dependent on the sun. Existence is dependent on the sun. As they say that Janmadhyasya yataha, that their appearance and their survival here is dependent on that. Diyoyona prajodayat, because it is only because of the presence of the sun that every second that we survive and exist here and we are able to function here. And our mind, intelligence, everything is functioning because of the sun. Because Krishna's presence, the same Chaitanyam, what we address as Krishna, Atma Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, in that way, it is that same Chaitanyam or living force is present in the sun. That's the way to understand. Chaitanyam is one. There is not many Chaitanyam. There is only one Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means the living force. That Chaitanyam is present in all the, everybody is present. In Krishna also it's the same Chaitanyam that is present. And the same Chaitanyam is present in the sun as well. And it is that Chaitanyam that is present in us is the one that operates all the, our mind, our intelligence, senses, everything. So one Chaitanyam that is present in Krishna, that is present in all other living entities, is the same Chaitanyam that is present in sun. In some places, the manifestation is more. For example, they say that the Krishna is present in the elephant, Krishna is present in the mosquito also. But in elephant, we perceive that manifestation to a higher degree. In mosquito also, even though Krishna's presence is the same in both, in our experience, we feel the manifestation of Krishna more in the elephant than in the mosquito. That is our sensual perception. But Krishna's presence is equally distributed in every living entity. So, Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying here, Therefore, after saying all these things, he is saying these prayers, last prayers. Adaha Bhagavam Stava Charana Nalina Yugalam Tribhuvana Gurubhiru Vandida Ahamaya Yatraya Ayajukamam Upasara Miti. He is saying that, saying to Yajnavalkya Maharshi, says to the son that you are honored in all the three planetary systems by the devotees, because you can see this is the system followed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that all the demigods also, all the devadas as well, glorifying the praising the glories of Ishvara or Krishna, Ishvara or Krishna. Because he is saying here that all other devadas also, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all of them glorifies you, the sun. This system is there in throughout Bhagavatam, you will find. Whichever Chaitanyam present in whichever form they want to offer respects, they will say all other devadas are also offering their respects to you. Here it says that Adaha Bhagavam Stava Charana Nalina Yugalam Tribhuvana Gurubhiru Vandita Aham Ayadaya Ayajagama Upasaramidi. He is saying all other to you, Tribhuvana Gurubhiru Vandita, all others, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all of them offer their respects to you. That means when the Chaitanyam is present in that sun, the respect is offered to them by Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, everybody. And they even glorify you. And Charana Nalina Yugalam Aham Nalina Yugalam Aham Ayadaya Ayajukamam Upasaramidhi Aham Ayadaya Ayajukamam Upasaramidhi. He says, means that Upasana, they are offering obeisances to you and they perform their Upasanas to you. Ayadayama Ayajukamam Aham. That so nobody else with that prayer, Gurubhir Vandita Aham Ayadayama Ayajukamam Upasaramedhi. What does that mean? It means up till now, nobody else has received that part of the Yajurveda, Yajurveda Shaka. And it was mentioned before in the 6th chapter, in the 66th verse. Yajnavalkya stado brahman chandamsi adhigaveshayan guror avidyamanani subadaste arkamishwaram. That Yajnavalkya Maharshi prayed for that, isn't it? That guror avidyamanani. Nobody else has got that. Guror avidyamanani means that my own teacher has not received this mantra. Guror avidyamanane chandokyadi gaveshen. To receive that, I am offering my respects to you. This is how he prayed to the sun. Pray to the sun. In that 66th verse mentioned, isn't it? Yajnavalkya stado brahman chandamsi adi gaveshayan guror avidyamanane subadaste arkamishwaram. He is saying to the sun planet, what even my spiritual master has not received, Vaishambhayana Maharshi has not received, I am asking for those prayers from you. Part of the Yajurveda. That's what he was asking. So, with that verse, the last 72nd verse, Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying to the son, this is what I want from you. Adaha Bhagavam Stava Charana Nalina Yugalam Tribhuvana Gurubhi Vandidam Aham Ayadaya Ayajukamam Upasaramedi. Ayajukamam Upasaramedi means I am asking for that part of the Yajurvedam, Yajurveda Mandram. For that I am performing this Upasaramedi. I am performing the Upasana. This is how he prayed to the sun, right? So nobody else should have received that from you before. And that words, that mantram, in order to know that properly, Sun, who is a Samashti Veda Swarupam, that means, what is he meaning by that? He is meaning that Sun knows the Vedam. And that is a recognized fact. Sun knows the Vedam. He knows the whole Veda Swarupam. He is Veda Swarupam. That means worshipping Sun as the Veda Swarupam. And that is why Krishna also says that he recognizes his position, isn't it? The knowledge is Vedam. Vedam means knowledge. And the knowledge, he is the Jnana Guru, who Sun. So, Samashti Veda Swarupam, he is glorifying Yajnavalkya Maharshi in this way and asking for that mercy to give him that part of Yajurvedam which it's his own spiritual master hasn't received before. Because that is what he wanted. He told Vaishambhayana Maharshi when he left that he handed over back everything. And then he knew that Veda Swarupam is Sun. So Sun is in a position to offer that to him. That is why Subhadra say earlier he said, that 72nd verse is the completion of the 66th verse. You see that 66th verse, if you look, Yajnavalkya stado brahman chandamsi adigaveshayan guror avidyamanani subhadaste arkamishwaram, he said. That he was looking for those chandas of the Yajurvedam which his own guru has not received before, and therefore he approached the Sun who knows the whole Vedam. Who knows the whole Vedam. And then he concludes that Adaha Bhagavam Stava Charana Nalina Yugalam Tribhuvane Guruvir Vandidam Aham Ayadaya Ayajukamam Upasarameidi. He said, I want that portion of the Yajurvedam, and for that I am performing this Upasana. Even all the Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they all offer their respects to you. This is a system in the Bhagavatam. Whenever they are glorifying a particular form, they will say all other Devadas offer their respects to you. You will find this with Sri Parvati also, Yogamaya Devi. And at that time, all other Devadas offering respects to her. Similarly, Brahma, Vishnu, all of them offering respects to Shiva, you will find in the same way. So this is a sampradayam in the Bhagavatam, like that. That when they want to glorify, because Chaitanyam is one. At that particular time, they are glorifying Chaitanyam in that particular form. So when they do that, all the other forms offer their respects to this form. This system is Bhagavata Sampradaya. That you can see that in the fourth canto with the Lord Shiva, he is glorified and praised by all the other Devadas together. When Narasimham comes, all other Vishnu, Rudra, they are all coming and offering respects to Narasimham. So this, why is that? The Chaitanyam is one. There is only one Chaitanyam which is present in all the different forms. If you understand that, then there is no confusion. The Chaitanyam is one. Atma Swarupam. We address as Krishna, somebody else may address in a different name. But that Vastu in Krishna, in Shiva, in Brahma, in Ganesh, in Subramaniam, in everyone, it's the same Vastu. Vastu is the same. So Yajnavalkya Maharshi, how he glorified the Sun, Sudha Goswami decided to mention that to Shaunaka Rishi and others who were present in the Naimisharanyam. That's why it is just happened to be like that. The intention was not to speak particularly about this. When Veda Vibhajanam, how the Vedas were divided by Veda Vyas, and when Shaunaka Rishi asked this question about that, as a matter of importance, Sudha Goswami felt the necessity to mention this. And that's how he spoke. So, Sutta Vacha, next verse you will see, Evam Studa Sa Bhagavan Vaji Rupa Dharo Hari Yajum Shayadayamani Muneye Adal Prasadida. That when he was glorified like this, what did Sun God do? The Sun, what did he do? Hari, he is Hari, who is present there. See, Evam Sudasa Bhagavan Vaji Rupa Dharo Hari. He is addressing Sun planet, Sun who is present there,
And Hari has taken the form of a horse and came. So that shows that Hari is not different from sun. It's the same. Vaji Rupa Hare Hari. So in Bhagavatam you can see this Hari. It is Hari himself who had come. And whether it is shown to you in the form of sun or in the form of Vishnu, in the form of Shiva, it's all Hari. It's all Hari. So in this way, right now, Yajnavalkya Maharshi is addressing the sun, and he is looking at the sun, Aditya Mandalam, and his Shraddha is there, all his Sankalpam is there, and he fully believes that he is the direct manifestation of Hari. In that way he is addressing the sun, right? So whichever Sankalpam you have, that whatever Sankalpam you have, in that way you have offered your respects and obeisances to that form, that's all Hari. It's all Hari. So when it was done like that, Hari came in front of him, Vaji Rupa Dharo Hari, it says. Evam Studasya Bhagavan, Vaji Rupa Dharo Hari, Ejumsha Yadayamani, Muneye Adal Prasadida, he says. Vaji means horse. Vaji means horse. He took the form of a horse, who's the sun, and came in front of him. And in this way, when he was glorified, completely pleased with the glorifications, Hari came in front of him in the form of a horse and gave Yajnavalkya that part of the Yajurveda mantram which has not been given to anyone before. And given that to Hari came in the form of Vaji, the horse, and gave the Yajurveda mantram to who? To Yajnavalkya, right? So you can see that even in the modern world, even the big scientists who are experimenting and researching and all that in the material world, material life, right? Material sciences, they have managed to receive the certain knowledge of the laws of nature, certain laws of nature, due to a serious effort and fully concentrated with one-pointed mind, absorbs in certain things. Like you can see all these people who are doing the research and scientific inventions, they have a single-pointed mind to get some, to conduct the research and from that to come to certain understanding of the laws of nature. So similarly, these great rishis also, then they wanted to know the secrets of this universe, secrets of this nature. So in the same way, they also received the knowledge. Like you can see here, the rishis have one approach of how to receive the knowledge of the world, of this creation, in the form of Vedam, which they have received through their power of concentration. And when the rishis, with their highest concentrated mind, totally dependent on that Chaitanyam, and when it enters into the highest degree of the subtle areas, Sushma Buddhi, or in other words, that Sushma Buddhi comes from the purification of the Andhakaranam, or the subtle body happens, and when that subtle body stops completely its other thought processes, that is when their Shraddha becomes 100%. That means there is no thought waves coming and disturbing there, and that time their Shraddha is 100%. Right. So once they have reached that state of concentration, and without allowing the mind to wander around and go into other topics or other subjects, in its most subtle state, that to such an extent the mind is concentrated, ekagrata, concentration happens to them. So those rishis and acharyas who were in that state, that is when they realized everything what they are seeing here, it's only one thing. It's only one thing that is present in front of us in many forms. This realization they received at that time. In its most subtle level, when their shraddha and attention is at the highest level, when all other thoughts are moved away from the mind, and that when they were able to absorb in its deepest level of subtleness, at that time they were able to realize that everything what they are seeing in many, many different forms and names is actually there is only one thing. There is only one thing. So, everything when we can give our attention to that, you can see here that what we say, so many things are present here. So many things are present here. We say like that. There are so many things present in this world, isn't it? We say like that. But Shastram is saying there is not many things. There is only one thing that is present here. So, here, Vajirupa Dharo Hari. Krishna comes in the form of the horse. Vajirupa Dharo Hari. So, what Hari, Vajirupa Dharo, in the horse form, has given to Yajnavalkya Maharshi, which others have never known before, which was new for Yajnavalkya Maharshi, and others could not receive it before. But here, because of Yajnavalkya Maharshi's surrender, purity and the Shraddha and one-pointed thinking, because of that, the subtle level, this was revealed to him. It was already there. It is not a new thing. But it was revealed to him at that time. So, the important thing to know is this, that Yajnavalkya Maharshi received this part of Yajurveda, which others didn't know before. That doesn't mean this was not existing. All these things did exist before. Vedam always exists. Knowledge always exists. But nobody was there like Yajnavalkya to receive this before. But this time it so happened that Yajnavalkya Maharshi got it because of his purity and the seriousness and concentration before. So, even though we have not studied Vedam, we don't understand Vedam, right? But one thing you can notice in all these things, very interesting ideas that's spoken here. Interesting ideas, right? This is exactly in the same way Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, all of them. All the other Vedas are also like in the same pattern. Means, like Yajurvedam was, part of Yajurvedam was revealed to Yajnavalkya Maharshi. In the same way, other parts of the Vedam, Rigvedam, Samavedam, all of that, and part of Yajurvedam also, were revealed to different rishis in the same way like Yajnavalkya has received. They have practiced the same way like Yajnavalkya did, performed penances, tapasya. That's why. And purify themselves. They purify through austerities and penances themselves. And after purification, when it comes to a very higher level of purification, that means mind is not wavering and thinking anything else apart from this truth they are looking for. And in that highest degree of surrender and purity, they will receive this Vaidya, Veda Mantra, Vedic hymns. That's how they have received. So, but the knowledge, what they have received, when you look at the different suktams, like for example, in the Vedam, if you want to see part of that, there is Purusha Suktam, Narayana Suktam, Mangalya Suktam, Shri Suktam. There is so many prayers like Shri Rudram. All these are Chamagam. All part of the Vedam. different prayers. And the language is also very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand if you read them. So it may appear as though they are all different from one to another, right? But every mantram has been received by the Rishi in the same way like Yajnavalkya received the Yajurveda mantram, isn't it? So some Rishis found out some things, some other Rishis found out something else, and Vedavyasa Maharshi brought all of them together and divided them and set them up in an order. Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvavedam, in that way. So what others have never received before, here Yajnavalkya has found out. So Yajnavalkya received that. That's all. And that is specifically mentioned here. Others have not received what Yajnavalkya received, right? So what do we notice here? That it is not a competition between the rishis. It is not in a competitive spirit they are going, oh, he got it, so I should have it. Not like that, right? Malsara buddhi is not there among them. Rishis are not into this malsara buddhi. So when they approached the sun, Yajnavalkya Maharshi's prayers were, I would like to receive something what others haven't got it. In the sense that I would like to know something more than what others haven't been. Because he knows there is more to know. There is more. There are anyone, a rishi is a person who engages in sadhana, upasana. But upasana means the heart has to be very pure. Only in that way that upasana can be performed. As Yajnavalkya Maharshi came away from Vaishambhayana Maharshi, saying to him that, I'll hand this over to you, what you have given. So he felt the necessity to have something. So he approached the sun god, sun gave him. And so, so, because he wanted that, he also wanted to please sun god. And he wanted to receive this Vaidika mantram of Yajurvedam, part of this Yajurvedam, so that those mantram can be used, hymns can be used in glorifying him future for that. So it all depends on, the success depends on the mind, the type of the person who is engaging in that upasana. Yajnavalkya Maharshi's purity, his concentration, surrender, all that is important. That is why Hari was pleased. Vajiruva Dharo Hari. He came and gave in the form of the horse. So, similar thing you will find in the Bhagavatam. When Lord Brahma was sitting in the lotus flower, right? He was looking, where am I? Isn't it? And what did he do? He inquired in the same way, like Yajnavalkya did. He inquired, who am I? And when his penances and austerities became very intense, at that time, Hari revealed to him also the knowledge. Isn't it? So knowledge, throughout the history you will find this. Rishi is receiving knowledge, and Brahma is also one among them like that, who received the knowledge. And the knowledge what Brahma received is in the form of Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Yajnavalkya Maharshi received in the form of Yajurvedam. And similarly you will find many other things in the Vedam, in the same way. So to know the truth, the best way is to depend on the truth. To take shelter and surrender to the truth. That is the process Rishis have followed. Rishis' philosophy, Rishi's way of thinking is to get to know the truth. We all want to know the truth, isn't it? So to get to know the truth, the best process is to surrender to the truth and depend on the truth. Ashrayam. That is why this is all spoken in the 12th canto. For that reason, ashrayam is the process to receive the knowledge. And continuously serving with your highest capacity. It should be very higher, that degree of surrender and purity and ashram, shelter. So when that happens, that is the entry to the spiritual world. That's entry to the spiritual world. Similarly, that's why it says in the Bhagavatam, continuous smarana. Smarana, isn't it? Bhagavatam says that, smarana. Smarana means remembering, isn't it? That smarana, what is that smarana? Smarana means that Krishna, whom he addresses Krishna, that Chaitanyam, living force, who is present in everyone as their Antaryami, and who is controlling everyone in their life, all the time, continuously remembering him. That is what this smarana means. Smarana means who is the cause of all causes, who controls everybody, and that Chaitanyam, in order to experience that Chaitanyam, Shandi, for that, this is what makes the facility for to get there. So, when in this way, when he was glorified by Yajnavalkya Maharshi, accordingly, Yajurvedam, part of that Yajurvedam was given to him, right? to the extent you glorify Krishna and surrender and take shelter, accordingly, Krishna will also respond. So, if we are not successful, the only reason for that is our purity is not there, our surrender is not there, our in concentration is not there, smarana is not there. That's where it's failed. Kathamai bhagavata vidhana harertanande charidaiduriyehi yadamanitva paridoshakam novi prathidam achudam arudesha. So, like here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi spoke Bhagavatam, which Sudha Goswami has spoken to Shaunagrishi in Naimisharanyam, isn't it? And this Srimad Bhagavatam is also Krishna Swarupam, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavata Kyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. Therefore, this Bhagavatam also is spoken to please Krishna. And the Sudha Goswami is also saying, earlier you will see that in the second canto, when he says that I will present this Bhagavatam to you yatha deedam yatha mati, to my capacity. Everybody has a capacity, isn't it? A certain capacity. It varies from one person to another. I heard everything from Shuka Brahmarshi in Shukratal. I heard everything from Shuka Brahmarshi in Shukratal. But that does not mean that I will be saying everything to you what I heard. I may not say that. What I have learned and what I have realized from that, from what I heard, when I heard from Sukha Brahmarshi, I will speak to you according to my capacity. Have you seen that verse? Yatha deedam yatha mati, he says. He is not promising that I will give you the whole verses as Sukha Brahmarshi has spoken there. Yatha deedam yatha mati. It is the third chapter in the first canto, last 45, verse 45. That's where he says this. You have to take notice of that, because even though in the 42nd verse, in the third chapter, sarva vede dihasanam saram saram samudradam sadhu samshravayamasa maharajam parikshidam. He's saying here, all the Vedam, all the itihasam, sarva vede itihasam, hasanam, saram saram, the essence, that means it is really the extract of the whole Vedic knowledge, right? Saram saram, samudradam, sadhu, samshravaya masa maharajam parikshidam. Shushuka Brahmarshi spoke that and Parikshit Maharaj heard that. Then, Prayobavishtam Gangayam Paridam Paramarshibi Krishna Swathamopagade Dharma Jnanadibisaha. That Parikshit was sitting in the river bank, Ganga river bank, not even having a drop of water, decided to give up his body through Prayobavisham, and all the rishis were Paridam Paramarshivi. All the rishis were present around him, all the great rishis. All the rishis had come, they were there, right? And Kalau Drishtadrisham, Nashtadrisham Esha, Puranarkodhanodida, Tatra Kirtayado Vipra, Viprasher, Bhuri Tejasa. There, Sri Shiva Brahmarshi came and who was singing the glories of Krishna, and I happened to be there, and by His mercy I have also heard that. Who says this? Suta Goswami says there. And to the extent I have understood, and to with my capacity of my intelligence, I will speak to you. That's what they are. Aham cha jagamam tatra nivishtas tadanugrahat soham va shravayishyami yatha adidam yatha madhi. Two things. Yatha adidam, as much I have absorbed in that what I heard from Shukra Brahmarshi, yatha madhi, according to my capacity I will present it. So so that is what that is the important thing. So here also you can see the same thing, that all transcendental knowledge, the process is like that. Somebody speaks, somebody hears, they accept it to the extent they have understood, and they deliver it to others. They will deliver it to others, right? So and they pray to Krishna that he should be pleased to be there with the way they have presented it, right? So, and if you are pleased, Srimal Bhagavata Khyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi Sikrudosi Mayanatha Muktyartam Bhavasagare, says like that, isn't it? And this principle holds good all the time. That means they will speak according to their capacity, and that they pray to Krishna, be pleased with our prayers. That's all you can do with Krishna. You have to say your prayers to the capacity what you have, and mention, says to Krishna, be pleased with what I have said. That's all. And you will see this in the fifth chapter when we started Brahmavalesham. The first verse itself. Atrayanu Varnyadeya Vishnam Vishwalpa Bhagavan Hari Yasya Prasadajo Brahma Rudra Krodha Samalbhava. See that? First verse in the fifth chapter, right? Abhishnam. He says here in Puranam, in this Srimad Bhagavata Puranam, there is only spoken about one vastu. Who was that? Vishwalpa Hari. About Hari, it is spoken. Vishwalpa Hari, isn't it? So, how Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken for Hari to be pleased. Look at the way Sri Shiva Brahmarshi says there. Atralpa Bhagavan Vishnu. Vishwalpa Bhagavan Hari Yasya Prasadajo Brahma Rudra Krodha Samalbhava Varnade Abhishnam Vishwalpa Bhagavan Hari Yasya Prasadajo. So Hari's Prasadam is what everybody is looking for. Everybody is looking for Hari's Prasadam. Hari should be pleased. So that is the same way in all the prayers you will find that. And if he is pleased, then that is when, like in the Bhagavadam says, Sadhyo Hrid Yavarudhya Yatra Kritibi Shushrushabi Talshanal. isn't it? Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krute Kimva Varai Ishwara Sadyo Hrida. When does that happen? When he is pleased. When Krishna is pleased, then Sadyo Hridi Avarudhyadi Vi Avarudhyata Kridibi Shushrushubi Talchanal. Immediately Krishna comes in into the heart. That is the principle. When he is pleased, Hari is pleased. Sadhi, Sadhyo Hridi Avarudhyadi. Hridi Avarudhyadi means he enters into our heart. Avarudhyata Kridibi Shushrushubi Talchanal. If that does not happen, when Hari does not enter into our heart, what will happen is that you may get the knowledge of the chapter, the meaning of the chapter, or meaning of a particular canto, or the meaning of the verse, or the meaning of the word, all those things, you may get it. But you won't get the essence. The literal meaning of the canto, chapter, verses, words, all these things you may get it. But the essence you won't get it. And it is that essence what was spoken in the first canto. Swadu swadu pade pade. Remember? If you look into the first canto, you'll find that word. Swadu swadu pade pade. Why did he say like that? Because of this. Swadu swadu pade pade means that every step, every word, you will start relishing in that. Every step you will start relishing that. 19. Vayam tuna vidupyama uttama shloga vikrami yashrunvadam rasajnanam swadu swadu pade padaye. That swadu swadu pade pade is that. That when Krishna enters into the heart and gives us that experience, what is called here as the sadhyo hridya avarudhya detra kridibi shushrushubi talshana. Realization, in other words. The realization, what you get from Bhagavatam. That is swadu swadu pade pade. Realization. That you are relishing it. Swadu, swadu means the tasting it. Tasting it. Otherwise you may get the meaning of the verses, chapters, cantos, everything. But it won't be the same as the swadu swadu pade pade. So, swadu swadu pade pade means you will also get the taste it, of the taste of all the rasam. So even though you may have understood the cantos, known all the stories, known all the chapters and the sub and the what is discussed in each chapter, and also you may memorize the verses and also know the word by word meaning everything, but the rasam, what is intended to know from all these things, it's not necessary. You will have it. It's not necessary. You will get it, right? So when all other desires goes away, when Srimad Bhagavatam, one who takes shelter of the Bhagavatam with this understanding that Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi, realizing that it is Krishna, Bhagavatam is Krishna, Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi, and surrenders to Krishna, Sikrudosi Maya Natha, then taking and taking shelter of Krishna. In that way, when one approaches Bhagavatam, he will receive that mercy from Krishna. And that is when he said, Sadhyo Hridya Varudhya Deyatra Kridibi Shushrushubi Talshanal. Talshanal, it will come to him. So, practically what he is saying here is that, with all desires given up, when one studies Srimad Bhagavatam, simply to please Krishna. Simply to please Krishna. And Krishna himself will, at that time, to one who surrenders to him in that way, he will give him the purity and the intelligence from Krishna's side. Krishna will give him the purity, Krishna will give him the intelligence to understand Krishna. To understand Krishna. And he will remove all the impurities from our heart. Krishna will remove the impurities from our heart. And when we are situated in that state of purity, we will understand what Krishna is saying. What Krishna is saying. Then we will understand what Krishna is saying. Otherwise we won't understand. Today we have this aham mama, two things in our heart, isn't it? Plus kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all those things. So therefore, when we are going through different experiences in life, all these impurities are getting churned up inside and it creates disturbances inside. It creates all different emotions inside because of the impure state. But when we start chanting the holy name and keep hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in that way, and whatever actions we are doing is done for pleasing Krishna for that purpose. In other words, when we change the life pattern to please Krishna, in that way when it happens, and if we keep going in that direction, gradually all these different enemies like kamam, lobham, krodham, moham, all those things, they will keep going down. They will disappear. So, and the root cause of this kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam is aham, mama. Aham, mamedi. It is, that is the ahangaram. Aham, mama. Me and mine. The other emotions are all centered around this. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. All these things are centered around this one. Right? Like you can see here, when Lord Brahma was created this ajnanam in five stages, isn't it? Tamasa, moham, mahamoham, tamisram, andadamisram. You remember? In the third canto or second canto it comes like that. So what does tamasa mean? Tamasa means you are forgetting your identity. That is tamasa. Moham means identifying with something what you are not. That's this body. So first thing is tamasa. That's what attacks us. That means I have forgotten who I am. Forgotten means that I have no idea that who I am. I have no idea who I am. That is called tamasa. That is very clear, isn't it? If somebody asks me, who are you? When I am answering that question, I know I am not that. Still I have to answer in a very artificial way, isn't it? That is tamasa. Tamasa means I don't know who I am. Then comes moham. Moham means that because I have forgotten who I am, I have gone and caught hold of some form and says I am that. Like this form. I am caught hold of, and that is called moham. So from tamasa it started, you forgotten your identity and then you identified with something which you are not. That is moham. Then what happened? Mahamoham. Mahamoham means due to my forgetfulness of my identity and due to my identification with this body, desires have come up. That is Mahamoham. Great illusion. Moham itself is illusion. Mahamoham means the big illusion. The big illusion started from that day. Big illusion has started from that. Because of the moham and identification with this body, desires have come in me and this big illusion has come in my head about this world, about me, myself, and about others. A illusion in my head. And that is called Mahamoham. And many, many desires. And when all those desires don't get fulfilled, what I have, I get angry. And I get very upset. And that is called Tamisram. Yeah? That is called Tamisram. Tamisram means, these are all part of Ajnanam. Ajnanam and five vritti, they say. Ajnana vritti, five of them. Bhagavatam mentions that. So, Tamisram means this. That because I had so many desires came up to me in my mind, I'm not able to fulfill all those desires. It developed into anger, greed. In so many forms it developed in me. And finally, those things what has developed in me in the form of desires and which did not get fulfilled and turned into anger and lust and greed and all that, that destroys me. And that is called Andhadamisa. So, tamasa, Moham, Mahamoham, Tamisram, Andadamisram. That's the end of it. Then finished. Jiva is finished then. He is again go back and continue through the cycle. So those, they are, and all these things are dependent on this aham ameti, me and mine. It's only this me and mine causes all the problems. So that ajnanam has begun from the very beginning. So all the other vigarams, vigaram means these emotions that comes to us, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, these are the main ones. They are all centered around this. So when we get purified through the holy name or and we go through our experiences in life, hearing holy name, chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavata Samskaram gets inside, and even whatever karma we are doing in this world is done to please Krishna. What will please Krishna? Do that. That's the principle. What that places Krishna? Do that. How to please Krishna? To make sure that everybody else also takes to Krishna. That's the best process, to please Krishna. So in that way, when we keep going further and further in our life, what will happen is this aham ameti will go from inside, and all the other emotions that is centered around the aham ameti, that will also disappear, and it will come into our experience level. It should come to our experience level. So, so when Krishna gets pleased, he brings us closer to him. He brings us closer to him, every jiva, close to that Krishna's happiness. So here also you can see, when Yajnavalkya Maharshi pleased the sun god in that way, he gave him certain secrets which has not been given to anybody else before. The sun god handed it over to Yajnavalkya Maharshi in the same way, right? So that is clear in from these prayers, right? So if you want to know about this material nature, prakriti, maya, if you want to know it properly, certain things we should have the intelligence for, that capacity for that, right? So so that what that means is, with a very very serious endeavor for a long period of time, we should elevate ourselves and bring us into that position where we can receive it from the higher authority. That's the way to get it. We have to elevate ourselves to a higher position and be qualified when you can receive that knowledge from the higher authorities. That's the only way it can happen. That's the only way it can happen. So what do we see there? That the the knowledge didn't come from anywhere else. It was already there. Only thing is, you can have it, any one of us can have it, if we raise ourselves to that level of qualification to receive that knowledge. Knowledge is always there. It's not something new. To promote ourselves in that higher level, to that higher level. So what that means is, Krishna, who is present everywhere in different forms, in order to know him, to that level we have to bring ourselves to that level. That means we have to get purified. And that you can have through upasana. Upasana it is called, right? Surya Vasana is also one of that, part of that, right? So, whichever form you worship, here you can see Krishna has come in the form of a horse and taught him. Vajiruba Dharo Hari, it says. So, any form, that absolute truth can accept any form to instruct anyone, in any form. So, the reason they say that horse is supposed to be a representation of speed, the speed in the Vedam, right? So, why it is said Vajirubadharo Hari is, that Vajirubadhari means that he gave this knowledge very fast, to at a very high speed, delivered to Yajnavalkya, right? That is the next verse, you see. Yajubir 74. Look at verse 74. Yajubir Agaro Shakha Desha Panjashadir Vibhu Jagruhur Vajasanyasta Kanu Madhyandinadeya. Yajubir Agaro Shakha Desha Panjashadir Vibhu Jagruhur Vajasanyasta Kanu Madhyandinadeya. So, what he received is Yajnavalkya Maharshi, Yajurveda Shaka, the branch of that Yajurveda Shaka, Yajus, is a particular part of the Yajurveda, not the whole Yajurveda, particular part of Yajurveda, which is called Nigadanyam Yajurganam. If you look into earlier verse, Nigadam it is called, in the verse 52. You see, Pailaya Samhita Madhyam Bahu Chakyam Vajaha Vaishambayana Samnyaya Nigadakhyam Yajurganam. Nigadakhyam Yajurganam. So, Nigadakhyam Yajurganam, out of that, a particular part of that mantram was come through Yajnavalkya Maharshi. Right. In Rigvedam, you say like this, it's full of riks, rikha. That's what it is called in Rigvedam. In Yajurvedam, it is called Yajushi. Yajushi. Just like they say, Rika means it's plural. Many Riks combined together. Yajushi also is like many Yajus joined together. Many Yajus joined together. That is the intention. So, if you ask a question, what are those Riks? In the Rigveda means, every single hymn in the Rigveda is a Rik. It's called a Rik, right? Similarly, in the Yajurveda also, every Yajusham, Yajusha, has given a special name, and some of them, Yajnavalkya got it. Yajnavalkya got some of them, not all. Some of them, but others didn't have, Yajnavalkya got it. So he also became a part of that. And that's what he's saying here. Desha Panjashadir Vibhu. See that verse? Ejibir Agaro Chaha Desha Panjashadir Vibhu. So Desha Panjashadir means Desham is 10, Panjashadam. 10, 15 Shaka. Who created? Yajnavalkya has created. And that has been broken into 15 branches. And they are called Kannum Madhyandinam. They have been called as Kannum and Madhyandinam. Kannum Madhyandinadeya, he says like that, isn't it? So, what does that mean? These, our Yajnavalkya Muni, those Yajusa, what he has got it. With that, he created 15 shaka, 15 branches. And he taught them to Kanva and Madhyandina. They have studied them. And that Yajurveda shaka is called Vajasani. It's called Vajasani because it was given in the Vaji form. Through the horse mouth it came. So because it Vajirubadharo Hari, it was said before, So, because in the Vaji Rupam, in the horse form it was given, it was called Vajasani. And Kannu Maharshi and Madhyandinadi, they have the people who were given, they were disciples of Yajnavalkya. So, Yajnavalkya taught them this Vajasani, which is Yajurveda Shaka, and they studied them and accepted them properly accepted them. So, that Yajurveda Shaka is called, Yajasa is called Vajasani, because it came in the form of Vaji Rupam and given. Therefore, they were called Vajasani, and they were talked to Kannu Maharshi and Madhyandra Maharshi. So, and because this Yajurveda Shaka was given very fast to Yajnavalkya Maharshi, then that is why it is called Vajasani. Like earlier, we spoke about Titri birds. In the form of Titri birds, we spoke about that, isn't it? That the Titri birds ate everything, whatever that was vomited by Yajnavalkya. It was eaten by the Titri birds. Similarly, this also, in the same way it is, right? The way it is spoken is like that. So, in that way, Yajnavalkya Maharshi was able to know about the certain things which Vaishambhayana Maharshi didn't know about it, right? And naturally, he taught them to his disciples. So, Yajubir Agaro Shaka Desha Panjashadeir Vibhu. Jagrhur Vada Sanyasta Kandu Madhyandinadaya. Kandu Madhyandinadaya. So, with that, Yajurvedam is finished. So, Rigvedam was spoken before, now Yajurvedam is finished. Now, the next one is about the Samavedam. Jaimine, next verse, 75. Jaimine Samagasyasil Sumandustaneyomini. Sunyamstu Talsuda Tasta Abhyam Egeigam Prahasamhidam. This is earlier, you remember, in the 53rd verse, Samnam Jaimineye Praha Tadha Chandoga Samhitam Atharva Angirasinnama Sushishyaya Sumandave. So in 53 it was said that Veduvyasa Maharshi to his disciple Jaimini, based on the Chandoga Vrtam, or based on that Chandasa, the one to be sung in the form of songs, which is Samavedam, that Samam was given. To who? To Jaimini. Who gave it? Vedavyasa Maharshi. Gave it to Jaimini, right? And Jaimini taught that to Sumandu. And Sumandu's son is what is mentioned. Sumandu Staneyomuni Sunnuanstu. Sunnuan. So, Sumandu and Sunwan, they were given that. And that means he gave whatever he got, he broke it into half, gave it to his son and half to the grandson. Yeah? You know why it happens? It's not that they wanted to keep it in the family everything. In material life it is like that, isn't it? I mean, that's not the reason. The reason is this. Jaimini has to be convinced that to whom he is giving is following everything and have the purity, qualifications for receiving it. Only then he will give it. And it so happened that both the son and the grandson, very obedient, and came up to the standard to have it. So he gave it to them. He taught them. So rishis are not concerned about anything like that. They are not on that bodily concept. They don't think like that. They think like this, that anyone who is, if there is anybody who goes to them, you will see this. When Parashuram goes to Lord Shiva to receive the knowledge, Sri Parvati says to Lord Shiva about Parashuram that he is a qualified person even though he cut my son's tusk. Mentions there, like that. He's a qualified person because Parashuram, tapasya is not shortage. Plenty of tapasya in him. And so he says, Shivarudhi complains about Parashuram to Shiva, like this. That disciple and the son, there is a difference, isn't it? Sometimes it so happens that people will say, oh, because he is his son, he will go show more favoritism to that. Lord Shiva didn't have that favoritism. Lord Shiva said, he is a qualified person, he should have the knowledge. And that is how Parashuram was instructed by Shiva. This is a famous story. Parashuram going to Kailasam, and Ganesh at the entry stopped him from going in. So Parashuram with his axe cut him and cut his tusk, one of the tusks. And Ganesh got upset. Little boy he was then. And Shivarvati came up and saw what happened. And she got upset. She went to Lord Shiva and complained to him, what are you doing? Your disciple is like this, who comes and cuts my son's tusk. So Shiva says that is true, he has done that, but he is a qualified person. Disciple is purely, what I'm saying is that they are not on the bodily concept of life, thinking like that. If a person is qualified, no matter who it is, they will give the knowledge. They'll give the knowledge. That is the principle. Person has to be qualified. So here you can see Jaimini also in the same way. When he found that his son is Sunandu and his grandson Sunyamsu, both of them were qualified. So therefore he taught his Samhita because he wants the Samhita to stay here. So he gave it to them. And and Sukarma. One gave it to son and one gave it to the grandson. Whereas those who are don't understand all these things, they will say, oh, this is all favoritism, corruption, scandal. They'll say like that. So that's why you see the next words. Sugarma chavita chishya sama veda taror mahan sahasra samhita bhedam chakre samnam tadodvijaha. Chakre samnam tadodvijaha. That. And he gave himself to Sukarma, that was his disciple, whose disciple Jaimini. Jaimini's disciple is Sukarma, Tachishya, and he taught him also, Samaveda, he taught him. And if you consider Samaveda like a tree, there was 1,000 branches for that tree. So, and from that tree, 1,000 branches were created, and they were able to divide that and give it to others as well. So, the Samavedam is like that. They were able to break it up. There were 1,000 branches. They were able to break it up. And that means 1,000 Samhita. Samaveda Samhita it's called. Like Rikka, Yajusa, and here it is Samhita. Samhita was created. And that is why Hiranyanabha Kausalya. Next verse. Paushyan Jishya Susharmana Shishyo Jagrhudushchanya Avandyo Brahmavitama. He says. His disciples were there. Who are they? Hiranyanabha Kausalya, Paushya, all words here. All of them are Sukarma's disciples. Sukarma was Jaimini's disciple. And Sukarma's disciples, all these people, right? He taught them all. Similarly, there was one personality who was living in Avanti. That's Ujjain now. And this, and he was a very advanced soul. So, verse Udichya, Samaga Shishya. Asan Panjashatani Vai Paushanjandya Avandyayaschovi Tamsha Prachyan Prajakshade. He says that he learned who Udichya. Udichya, who lives in Avanti, learned this, also became a disciple. And and that Udichya has 500 disciples. Panjashatani Vai, right? And the way they have given the name to them, those who are in the north, those who are in the east, in that way, right? So that's why Udicha means those who are in the north. And Prachya means those who are in the east. Like that. That was in them days, that's how they used to talk about. Those who are from the north, those who are from the south, those who are from the east. In that way. And then if you look at the next verse, Laugachir Mangali Kulya Kushida Kuchirevaja Panji Shisho Jagraho Samhidaste Shadam Shadam. He says that those names there, Laugachi, Mangali, Kushyan, Kusidan, Kuchi, these are all the names. These are all the disciples of Panji Shishya. And the Paushyanja, it is his disciples. Avandeya Chobi, Tamsha, Prachyan, Prajakshade. So they are also, because there are so many disciples, they also got certain parts from the branches of the Samaveda. Right? They also learned it. Then they say, Krito Hiranyanabhasya Chaturvimshadi Samhita Shishya Uje So Shishyebhya Shesha Avandya Alpavan. He says that Hiranyanabha had a disciple by name Krita. See, Krita has taught 24 of the Samhitas to his disciples, and remaining them Avandya has studied them and who taught his disciples. In this way, Samavedam is broken. So a few names just mentioned. Who all taught Samavedam, who all studied Samavedam, and who all taught Samavedam to others. So you can see in this chapter, Rigvedam was spoken, Yajurvedam was spoken, and Samavedam was also spoken. Briefly about their history, to make us understand that. And in that process, when it's spoken about Yajurvedam, he spoke about Yajnavalkya Maharshi, and also how his part of the Yajurvedam has come to this world. That was also spoken. So this whole chapter is called Veda Shakha Pranayanam. That is the name of this chapter. In the Bhagavadam, the chapter is addressed, the title given is Veda Shakha Pranayanam. So we have to remove in our lectures. Brahmopadesham, we have to take it out. It should all be Veda Shakha Pranayanam when we started this onwards. Last 3-4 lectures is all about Veda Shakha Pranayanam. Veda Shakha Pranayanam means that how he broke up the Veda, and taught into branches into others. Right? So then in this way Samavedam and Shishya Prashishya, you see the word, last words, Shishya Uje So Shishyebhya Shesha Avandya Malpmavan, he says. And Shishya Prashishya Tachishya. So, three things have gone, and also in this chapter, three Vedams were spoken, their origin, and then also Yajnavalkya Maharshi's glorification of Son. This is what was spoken there, right? And Yajnavalkya Maharshi, what he received, and what was not there before, and that branch of Yajurvedam which he received, also spoken here. Shukla Krishna Yajurveda Shakha. So, Yajurvedam has two branches. Shukla Yajurvedam, Krishna Yajurvedam, right? So, and how this has happened, we should know from that, right? And both Krishna Yajurvedam and Shukla Yajurvedam, both are accepted because it has come from the Rishi Parambara. Rishi Parambara. Now, you see the interesting part here. In all literature, right? In all literature, there is a possibility that somebody can add verses, write something, and add into it. And say, this is also part of that. You will see this happening all the time. In Sanskrit literature also, this happens many times. In Mahabharatam, it has happened. Therefore, Mahabharatam, very difficult to find what is the original Mahabharatam, if you ask. It's a bit difficult to answer.
But still, knowing this problem, the scholars in the Vedic tradition, they have summarized, they have taken all the available commentaries on Bhagavatam, all the commentary publications of Mahabharata, and they looked at it and saw where the differences are. Not the whole thing has changed, there are a lot of additions, and different versions of Mahabharata exist at different places. So I think this is Bhandarkar Oriental Research Institute in Pune who did this, that they managed to bring all the Mahabharatams available together, and they brought out one issue of Mahabharatam, saying that from their understanding, they didn't say perfectly, particularly that this is it. They say from their understanding, after studying all the different Mahabharatam available, they come up with one publications of Mahabharatam. But still, that problem still exists, that there is additions and everything. But with Upanishads and the Vedam, this problem doesn't exist. Why? Reason is this. Rishis, when they have realized what they have realized, they have accepted among themselves, and it always remained intact. It could never be polluted. Lot of them have gone missing. We don't have it today. Because it cannot be kept in the book, you see. It doesn't help in the books. One has to know how to recite the Vedam and understand the meaning of the Vedam. And that cannot be explained through the books. This is the difficulty. So many, when the parampara dies, some of the Vedic hymns are lost with that. Thus even today, they have listed what is presently available. Presently what is available. A large part of the Rigvedam is available. A lot of Yajurvedam is missing. Lot of Samavedam is missing. Lot of Atharvavedam is missing. But they say how many of them are available today. That's all they can say. And even whether they will survive in that form, only time will tell. So here also again, Shukla Yajurvedam, Krishna Yajurvedam. Shukla Yajurvedam was what was originally there. Krishna Yajurvedam was only there. Shukla Yajurvedam has come now. And so, because it came in the parampara of the Rishi parampara, what I'm saying is the respect to the Rishis. Because it came in the Rishi parampara, today also we are accepting that without questioning that. Because it came through the Rishi, therefore. So, that what we are doing is that our respects to them by reading about them and hearing about them and their contribution to the Vedic way of life. Right? Because it is through them that when we study these things, we are paying our debt towards them. Because they have given us this knowledge which was not available in this world. Right? In a way that we can accept it. In a way we can assimilate it that. Right? So when we say by studying Shastram you should pay your debt towards the Rishis, that's what they say, isn't it? How do you pay? For demigods, by performing sacrifices, we pay our debt. For Rishis, by studying Shastram, we pay the debt. For forefathers, by executing Shraddham and all the other Pitrakarmam, we pay the debt. So, Devarshi Buddha Tamarnam Pidranam, the words in the Bhagavatam. Right? So, they gave up their life, and generation after generation, they have passed on this knowledge through that and kept it available currently in this world. Right. So, as for those who want to live, or those who are seeking the truth, for them, it's beneficial. Suppose you don't have Vedic literature, what will you do? How will you inquire? They provided us a sound footing, isn't it? Suppose this literature is not available, what will happen? What will you inquire about? How will you inquire? Everything becomes a problem. But Rishis, they inquired, they found the truth, and what they have realized, they taught, they themselves learned and practiced, and they taught others also to learn and practice it, and then it followed through that parampara for such a long period of time and remained in this world. So, and that's how it came to us, so that those who are looking for the truth from this Maya, to come out of it, and those who are looking for a direction in life, for them it is helpful. It's a helpful. So when we are accepting that, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literature, it is our duty to remember the rishis who gave us that. Right? And while going after accepting it and passing through our life in this world, our greatest obligation is to remember them. That's our obligation towards them. To remember Yajnavalkya Maharshi, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, all the great rishis like that. And then that chapter finishes there. And in the next chapter, Atharvana Vedam, that last one left, one Vedam, isn't it? So, and after that, now the next one will be about Atharva Vedam. And after that, here up till now spoken about the Vedam and the Rishis, right? Now Puranam will come. Puranams came much later. When Puranams comes, they will also talk about the Acharyas of the Puranam. The Rishis who are the Acharyas of the Vedam that was spoken till now. Then the Puranams will come and the Acharyas of the Puranam will be spoken afterwards, right? Mainly 18 Puranams are there, and afterwards the Acharya of the Puranam, Markandeya Maharshi, about him it will be spoken. That is Markandeya Maharshi. Markandeya Maharshi is the Acharya for the Puranam. So that is how from now it will go. So, 7th chapter, Atharva Veda Shakha and Puranam. In the 6th chapter, Vedam only is covered. Only Vedam, Veda Shakha, Pranayanam. Here, Atharva Vedam along with the Puranams, it's spoken like that. Atharva Ved Sumandushcha Shisham Adhyabayat Sokam Samhita Sopi Patyaya Veda Darshaya Choktavan. It says. So, Sudam is talking about, for Shavanagarashi and others, Veda Vibhajanam, dividing the Vedam, or Veda Shakha Pranayanam, that was done. And Hrka Yajusa Samavedam, in this way, we heard in the 6th chapter. In the 7th chapter, Sudha Goswami begins with Atharva Veda Shakha, Atharvana Vedam, right? In the last chapter, we heard Vedavyasa Maharshi taught the 4 Vedas to 4 disciples, right? And in that, Atharvana Vedam was given to Sumantu. From Sumandu, how it started further, Atharvana Vedam, that is what is that first verse saying there. Right? Sumandu, the Samhita what he received from Atharvana Vedam, taught his disciple, and Sumandu to his 2 disciples, what was their name? Their names was Patya and Veda Darshana. Samhita sobi Patyaya Veda Darshaya Shoktavaya. So this Sumandu, who is Vedavyasa's disciple, he had 2 disciples, which was Patya and Vedadarsha. And he taught Atharvana Vedam to them. That's what. Shauklayani Brahma Balir Modosha Pipalayani Vedadarshasya Shishyaste Patya Shishyanato Shrunu Kumuda Shunago Brahman Jajali Chapya Atharvavit. So this Patya Veda Darsha, 2 disciples, who had that? Sumandu had. Out of that, Veda Darsha had 4 disciples. Shauklayini, Brahma Bali, Modosha, Pipalayini. That was their names, right? So what Veda Darsha did, what he received from Sumandu, he broke that into 4 and taught that into 4 disciples. And then Patya had Kumuda, Brahma, Kumuda, Shunaga, Jajali. Both of them had 4 disciples. So they taught them to their 4 disciples in that way. Right? So, what it means is that why they are saying all these names is to tell us that one person didn't receive everything. Each one of them, they broke what they have got into four branches and gave it to one man each. So you can see Atharvana Vedam how it has come. First of all, Sumantu learned from Vedavyas. Vedavyas gave it to Sumantu. Sumantu gave it to his two disciples, Pathya and Vedadarsha. And Vedadarsha had four disciples and Pathya had four disciples. So they taught to their four disciples. They broke their, what they got, they broke it into 10 pieces or 4 pieces and gave it to each one of them. And there we can see that Babru Shauklayani Brahmavarir Modosha Pipalayani Veda Darsha. First three. Babru is a disciple of Angiras. Angiras disciple, right? So this Babru and Saindhavayana. Saindhavayana and Babru, they both belong to Angiras Rishi's parambara. Angiras Rishi's parambara. And here, some authorities on the Vedam, they are saying that earlier two names mentioned, Kumuda and Shunaka, in the second verse, right? They are also belong to the Angiras Gotram. Some authorities are saying like that. And Shunaka's disciples are Babru and Saindhavayana. There's different explanation because we don't have much knowledge, information about the rishis. And they never believed in propagating about themselves. They will never do that. That's why to get some information about the rishis is very difficult. Rishis never believed that they should have any, their name should remain in this world. That was their nature. That they believed in the message rather than in the person through whom it has come. That's all what we have is some names, that's all. About their life, where they lived, how long they lived, and their, you know, what we call today as biography or autobiography. They didn't write all that. Nowadays when you write a book, the whole book will be about you first. The Vedic system is that they don't speak about themselves. That's their humility. And so then it says here, Nakshatra Kalpa Shandischa Kashyapa Angirasadeya Ede Atharvanacharya Shrunu Pauranigan Muni. So then Nakshatra Kalpa, Shandi, Kashyapa, all of them, they studied this and they also becomes authorities in the Atharvana Vedam. Right? So, and up to this, all of them were spoken about the Atharva Veda Acharyas. Their names are mentioned right up to this. Now, after this, he is saying, Shadvai Pauraniya Ime. Now, I'll tell you about the Acharyas among the Puranam, he says. So, up to this end of this fifth verse, it's all about the different rishis who have studied Atharvana Vedam and propagated. And now, from now on, it is going to start about the Puranam. Sixth verse, you can see there that Veda Vibhajanam was spoken. Vedam was divided and spoken. Now Purana Vibhajanam. In the Veda Vibhajanam we saw Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, and now Atharva Veda Acharyas were also spoken. And it is through them that these names, what we have heard, so many names now, isn't it? We heard so many names here. It is through these persons that Veda Samhita stayed in this world, and remaining still with what they have given to this world. And again, it is reminding us that how long it has survived here in this world, isn't it? How long this knowledge survived here. And that responsibility, they took it, who? The rishis, by teaching them in this particular method. Disciples, then they teaching their disciples, shishya parambara, that parambara. Right. Then Purana Acharyas are spoken there. So Purana Acharya, Vedavyasa Maharshi taught the Puranams to them. Vedavyasa is the head of the whole thing. And from Vedavyasa, he taught them to his disciples. And they also became the Acharyas in that parambara. Who? Vedavyasa disciples. He didn't teach Puranam to these rishis. He taught somebody else. So, and there, he's saying here, Kashya boham cha savarami Rama shishyo agradavrana Adimahi vyasa shishya Chadasro mula samhita. He's saying there that Sudha Goswami is going to talk about that parambara, Purana parambara. Why? He comes in that parambara. He is called Sudha Pauranika. Sudha Goswami comes in this parambara, Purana parambara. So, sixth verse is saying, Shishya adhiyanda vyasa shishyal samhidam mat pitar mukhad egai gham ahave tesham shishya sarva samadhyagam. Vedavyasa Maharshi created six samhita and gave it to my father. Sudha Goswami is saying there. And from my father, six acharyas learned the Purana, starting with Trayaruni. Trayaruni is one of them, right? Each of them studied one samhita. Vedavyas gave six samhita to six different disciples. And Trayaruni learned one samhita. And I became a disciple of all six of them. And I learned Puranam from them, all of them. So you can see Vedavyas created six samhita and gave it to my father. My father taught them to six disciples, starting with Trayaruni. I went to all six of them and learned everything from them. All of them. I learned from them. Learned from them. That's what he's saying here. So, and not only me, he's saying. Seventh verse. Kashya voham cha savarni Rama shishyo agradavrana Adhimahi vyasa shishyal chatasro mula samhita. Kashyava, me, Savarni, Agradavran, who is a disciple of Parashuram, all of them, four of them together, from Vedavyasa Maharshi, we studied these samhitas. All four of us. Kashyava, Agradavrana, Parashurama's disciple, Savarni and me. Four of us studied all the Sampurana Samhita, Mula Samhita, from these disciples of my father. Now, what you have to remember here is that who is this person who is talking now? His name is Ugrashravasa. Remember, Ugrashravasa. It comes in the first chapter in the Bhagavatam. It will come. Ugrashravasa. His father was Ramaharshana. This Ramaharshana was Vedavyasa Maharshi's disciple. Vedavyasa Maharshi's disciple is Ramaharshana. Ramaharshana's son is Ugrashravasa. Ugrashravasa, right? Remember, in the 10th canto. When Lord Balaram went, he went to Naimisharanyam. At that time, Ramaharshana was speaking. He didn't get up. When Balaram entered, Balaram got upset. He said he has no humility and cut his head off. Ramaharshana's head was gone. You know that story, isn't it? So, and then the rishis got a little confused what to do, because they invited him and put him in that place. And the principle is that while speaking Puranam, anybody comes, they should offer respects to him. And there's no necessity for him to get up from there. But Balaram felt that he didn't have sufficient humility. So Balaram killed him. He said, you're not qualified to speak. Bhagavatam, Atodi was speaking there. So that's how he got killed there, isn't it? So, and that Ramaharshana's disciples, all these are Kashyava, Savarni, Agrathavrana, and all that, right? And you can see there, Trayaruni, Kashyava, Vahvi, Agrathavrana, Vaishambhayana, Haridan, all of them. So, what all the rishis who are present there, they have got this, that, and now Ugrashrava is speaking here, right? Therefore, what happened there at that time? The rishis told him that we have invited him. They were respectful to Balaram. They knew who Balaram is, and so they were respectful to him. Balaram said, okay, a mistake has happened. What should be the, how do you call it, the atonement for that? So the rishi said that you should go on a pilgrimage. And that is how Balaram started the pilgrimage from Naimisharanyam. Then you know Balaram's pilgrimage is spoken in the Bhagavatam. All the places he went, visited, the temples visited, all the holy places, holy rivers, whole Balaram's journey is spoken in Bhagavatam. All the places he's visited. So, then he put this Ugrashrava in his place and blessed him. That you will have the word itself is Ugrashrava. That means one who has got the highest hearing power. Ugrashrava. And you'll have the highest hearing power and you will be able to speak what your father has done. Blessed him like that. And that's how this Sudha Goswami came. Ugrashrava has come. So, all of them I'm seeing here, they have learned this Samhita from my father. And Kashyapohamcha Savarni Ramashishyo Agrathavrana Adhimahi Vyasa Shishyal Chatastro Mula Samhita. He says like that. So, Kashyapa Maharshi, me, Savarni, Agrathavrana, all of them that they have, and from Kashyapa Shishya, Ramaharshana, and for Mula Samhita, the first Samhita were learned. Mula Samhita means, you see there, Adhimahi Vyasa Shishya Chatasro Mula Samhita. Mula Samhita, reason saying that it is a very particular part, that means certain parts which are little bit more in detail explanations there, in that. And there were other Samhitas also. That means there were Mula Samhita and then there were explanations to that in different forms, right? So, so from Vedavyasa Maharshi and he, from his disciples, they learned all that and they kept that tradition of Puranam. Puranic tradition, they kept it like that. That's enough for us to know from there. Purana Lakshanam Brahman, 8th verse. Brahmarshibhir Nirubidam Shrunushva Buddhi Mashritya Veda Shastra Anu Sarada. Veda Shastra Anu Sarada. What that means is that he is saying, you have asked me about Veda Shakha Pranayanam. Puranam is also part of Veda Shakha, isn't it? So you asked me Veda Shakha Pranayanam and that I am giving it to you now, he is saying. And then in that process I am also talking to you about the Acharyas who came in the Purana tradition, Pauraniya tradition. Then he is saying here, the symptoms of Puranam. Puranam is different from the Vedam in that sense. Puranam, every Puranam has a certain requirement, should be there. Purana Lakshanam, that's what is called Purana Lakshanam. Like you can see, Srimad Bhagavatam is a Puranam. So Srimad Bhagavata Lakshanam is spoken in the beginning. Atra Sargo Visargascha Sanam Poshanam Udaya Manandaram Ishanakatha Nirodho Mukti Ashrayam. So these 10 topics must be discussed. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam is called Mahapuranam. Mahapuranam needs these 10 topics. Sargam Visargam Sthanam Poshanam Udi Manandaram Ishanivada Nirodham Mukti Ashrayam. These 10 subjects were discussed there. It is necessary. Otherwise it is not considered to be a Purana. So, here Suda Goswami is saying to Shaunak Rishi, and what was spoken in the second canto, the same thing is again. Purana Lakshanam, I will tell you, he said, what is that? Shudusha Buddhi Mahashaste Veda Shastra Anu Sarada. And that he is saying here, in the ninth word, Sargosyada Visargascha Vritti Rakshandaranija Vamsho Vamshanijaridam Samstha Hedu Abhashraya. Abhashraya, he says. Now, one thing you will see there, that eighth verse, sometimes you will have to take notice of these things. Purana Lakshanam Brahman Brahmarshibhir Nirupidam Shrunushva Buddhi Mashritya Veda Shastranu Sarata, he says. Look at the word. Why did he use that word? Buddhi Mashritya. He is saying. Buddhi Mashritya. Shrunushva Buddhi Mashritya. He is saying. Why? What does he mean by that? Buddhi Mashritya means. Buddhi Mashritya means that you should use your intelligence while hearing Purana. That's what it is. While hearing Puranam, you should use your intelligence. What that means, you should understand how Puranam is structured. The way Puranam is spoken, you should ask questions in such a way that you should not ask nonsense, in other words. Like, you can see our problem. Yeah? When we don't, that's why specifically he says here, Buddhi Mahashratya. When you are asking questions in Puranam, you shouldn't ask all kinds of, what do you call it? Nonsense questions. Right? And most of the time people ask nonsense questions from Puranam. Isn't it? When they said Chitrakedu had 10 million wives, they will ask, 10 million wives he had. Isn't it? That's a nonsense question. Similarly, when they say in Puranam, that is Puranam, you have to know Puranam well. Then Puranam, you don't ask such questions. You are not allowed to ask. That's wrong. That's why Suda Goswami himself is saying this. That, you see, Purana Lakshanam Brahman, Brahmarshibhir Nirubhidam, Shrinishwa, you should hear that. Buddhi Mashrutya, taking your intelligence, you should have proper intelligence, he is saying. Veda Shastra Anusarata. He says, you should, he is saying here, that how the rishis, Brahmarshi, Brahmarshibhir Nirubhidam, Brahmarshis have evaluated this Puranam. They have performed the Nirubhanam. Nirubhanam means they reviewed the Puranams. And they have spoken the Puranam in such a way that when you are, and it is based on Vedam, it is based on Shastram. That's what it says here. Veda Shastranu Saratam. But, while asking questions, Shunushwa, you should hear that Buddhi Mashratya. You also should have the proper way of asking, understanding it. and asking it. So you can see that this is not spoken about Upanishads. This is not spoken about the Vedam, but it is spoken about Puranam. Like that. Shrunusha buddhim ashritya Veda Shastra and Sarada. Veda Shastra and Sarada. So what it means is that use your brain when you are asking questions. Don't ask daft questions. That's what it's saying. Use your brain before you ask any questions. And that means sometimes people ask questions just to find fault with the book, with the Puranam. They can ask any questions, isn't it? You can create so many questions. So don't ask like that, he's saying. And you should hear this in line with the Vedam and Shastra in the same way, right? The reason for that is, this is there in the commentary also, certain explanations in the Puranam, when you hear that, and certain ideas that is spoken in the Puranam, you may sometimes think, oh, it is somewhat different from the Vedam itself, a little different from the Vedam. You may think like that. So, Acharya's opinion is that if you find something is not completely in agreement with in Vedam, then you don't have to accept it. That means whatever that is spoken in Puranam is not in disagreement with the Vedic ideas, the principles of the Vedam. But if ever you find something to your understanding that this is addressing to the learned people, of course. For us it's not a matter. This is all addressing to the learned people, right? When they write the commentary, they say that. That if you find something, because they may have studied Vedam also, and if your understanding of the Puranam, if something is not in agreement with your understanding of the Vedam, you can reject it from the Puranam. From the Puranam you can reject it. It doesn't matter. That's what they are saying there. And that has been spoken. That therefore, when we hear something, if it is against the principle in the Vedam or in the Upanishads, if it is against that or opposing that, and in any way if it is creating any confusion in us, we should look at it very carefully and lose our intelligence and study that properly and then accept it if it is agreeing with that, with your understanding of the Vedam. Right? Suppose you find something different from the conclusion of the Vedam and conclusion of the Puranam. Then what you should do, then you should not have any problem with that. That is why it's spoken like this. In advance, it's spoken this. So that you don't feel obliged to accept everything what is written there. Those things which you feel is anything in disagreement with the Vedic way of philosophy, then you can reject that. And also, sometimes Puranam has a format which is called Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Udi, in that way. Right? So if you find any difference from one Puranam to another also, which will happen, same thing will be spoken in one way in one Puranam, in another way in another Puranam. It could be spoken like that. So what he is saying here is that Purana Lakshanam is like this. Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam. But the details, you shouldn't worry too much about it, if there is any differences. So, therefore he is saying here, when I am speaking, who is saying this, Sudha Goswami is saying here, he is saying, what I am speaking now, that you should join that with your knowledge of the Vedam, what you have heard from the Vedam, you should join that with what I am talking to you now. Sudha Goswami is saying this. And you should accept that in such a way that will not hurt your understanding. In your understanding. And that's what he is mentioning there. You see? That's why he has used that space statement there. Purana lakshanam brahman brahmarshibhir nirubidam shrunishva buddhim ashritya veda shastrana saradha. Vedam shastram, that has presented the truth particular way. Those who have become scholars in the Vedam and Shastram, when they read Puranam and hear from Sudha Goswami, Sudha Goswami is saying to them, whatever I have spoken, when you hear that, you can compare that with what you have learned from the Vedam and Shastram, and if there is nothing against each other, they are not contradicting each other, you can accept it. But if there is any contradictions coming, then you can reject it also. He has no problem with that. Who? Sudha Goswami is saying that. He says, I have no problem with that. That's how he is presenting it. Right? That means, he is saying here, if any differences in the ashayam, ashayam means the ideas. But there's a lot of things in the Vedam, isn't it? Vedam is very big. So many things spoken in the Vedam. And while only with the highest sushma buddhi, one who has got the much deeper level of understanding or concentration or the ability to understand the subtle things, will understand Vedam properly. And there will be always many people who are very well trained and learned in the Vedam. And those persons, when they hear Puranam, that should not create any difficulty for them. So therefore, he is saying to them, who Sudha Goswami is saying to them, that you should hear this, and if you see any differences, and if it's causing you any brahmam, confusion inside, you can accept that without causing any brahmam inside. You can accept it like that, right? Then he is saying in the verse 9 and 10, the Puranam symptoms where he is mentioned, sargam, sargosyada visargascha, vritti rakshandarani cha vamsho vamshanicharitam samstha hedu avashraya dashabir lakshanairyuktam puranam tadvido vidhu kejil panchavidam brahman mahadalpa vyavasthaya. You understand the differences between Vedam and Puranam. Vedam means, of particularly the Upanishad part of the Vedam, is direct instructions, isn't it? Directly telling us to what to do and what we have to accept. There is no question. Whereas in Puranam, the style is different. Puranam, through stories and through different studies, upadeshams, in a different way, the same truth in the Vedam is spoken, so that ordinary people will show interest. Ordinary people will show interest. Suppose it was only Upanishads directly spoken, People won't show any interest because they don't have a taste for that. That's why Puranams were written. So when Puranams were compiled, the intention was, somehow or the other, the message get through in a very diluted way to people. So the dilution is what has happened in the Puranam. They made it stories and they made all kinds of attractions to it, to make it more accessible and interesting to people. But even after doing that, people are not interested. So what to do now? I was reading the other day that to make it more interesting, what they have done, three things they said. They were saying, I forgot the names, it's all very complicated technology words. One was PowerPoint presentation, the other one was interactive discussions, and the third one was something else, forgotten. So all these are for making it accessible to people. Which one? Interactive discussions. You know, the session should not be one person giving lecture. It should be an interactive session. Everybody talking to each other, analyzing it, and making it more interesting. Interactive discussions. And then if you make it a PowerPoint presentation, it will make it more attractive. So people are doing all the time all these things to make it more and more interesting to people, somehow or the other. And then with pictures and graphs and charts and all that, it'll give you a completely different feeling, or you're doing something very important, you will feel that way, isn't it? So that's how all the, in future it will be like that. Everybody will have a laptop, everybody will have all the listeners also will have a laptop, and the other also, you'll download all Bhagavatam from the web. It will be a different world altogether. Today at least we are only sitting with the books, but already it is started now in that way. So, Purana Lakshanam, that's what was spoken by, right? So, Asya Sargaha, what he is saying here is that Purana Lakshanam, when he's talked about it, he's saying that right now, see the word, Sargosyada Visargascha Vritti Rakshandaranija Vamsho Vamshanujaridam Samstha Hedu Apashraya, he's saying that today, in our experience, what we see and hear, and in that way this creation is in front of us, isn't it? This world, this creation today is what we see and what we hear from this world, right? It is spoken about that. That means me and the people around me and the world around me. This is what is in our experience. So, Puranam gives an explanation to that first. That is Sargam. Sargam is that. The world that is around me, me, the people around me, and the world around me. Yeah? So, that is what is... For example, me means me and my senses. It is through my senses I have interaction with the world. What I have heard, what I have seen, what I have tasted, what I have smelled, what I have touched, all these things. So there is a world around me like that. World of the senses, right? That includes me, my family, and my relations, all those things, right? Everything related to the body, in other words, related to the body. And plus, what we see like the sun, the moon, the stars, all those things. So, the creation means, in the similarly, that our world, which is around us, right? And everything that is created in this world, which we are coming into contact with. And how it all remains like this, how it survives here, how it goes further, and how it is going protected. And apart from that, that's what is referring to Sargam and Visargam. Then Andarani, Manyandaram, different Manu's times, Vamshani Charidam, different races that has come in that. Vamshani, that means different royal families, Solar dynasty, Lunar dynasty and all that. Their history. Samstha. Samstha means the end of all that. And the changes that's happening from these forms. Similarly, that is what it is. You see that word? Vamsho Vamshani Charidam Samstha Hetu Apashraya, he says. Apashraya means there is something on which all of these things depend on. Apashraya. So, in the second canto, when they spoke that verse, Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Udi, Manandaram, Ishanikatha, Nirodham, Mukti, Ashrayam, the same 10 things, here Sudha Goswami is saying in a little different way, using different words. That's all. But more or less they are the same. Sargasyoda Visargascha Vritti Rakshandaranija Vamsho Vamsha. What you have to do, you have to go back into the second canto. And in the 10th chapter, 10th chapter, the first verse is saying about the Purana Lakshanam.
Right.
And Shuka Brahmarshi there, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi there, he told what each one of them means. What does Sargam means? What does Visargam means? What does Sthanam means? What Samposhanam means? Udi means? Manindram means? Ishanikatha means? Nirodham means? Mukti means? Ashrayam means? He said in the remaining verses. You see there? Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanam Iha Lakshanam Varnayandi Mahalpanam Shudena Arthena Chanjasa. Then he goes further. He's saying, Sargam means Buddha Matendridhyam Janmam Sargam Udahrada. Brahmano Gunavashamyam Visargam Paurishaspruda. So Sargam and Visargam is spoken in the third verse, what they mean, right? Then in the fourth verse it says Stidi Vaigunda Vijayam. Then Poshanam Tad Anugraha Manyundarani Sadharmam Udaya Karma Vasana. So what Shuka Brahmarshi gave some explanation to different this thing, Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Udi, what they are, he has explained that. Shuka Brahmarshi explained that in that second canto, right? There he said, Sthiti means Vaikuntha Vijayam, Poshanam means Tad Anugraha, Manyundarani is Sadharmam, and Udi is Karma Vasana. So you can see the third canto is Sargam, fourth canto is Visargam, fifth canto is Sthiti, sixth canto is Poshanam, fourth canto is Sthiti, then Sthitir Vaikuntha Vijayam Poshanam Tad Anugraha Manyandarani Sadharmam Udaya Karma Vasana. Karma Vasana Udi is the seventh canto. And eighth canto is Manyandarani Sadharmam. That is not even in order it is spoken. Then Poshanam Tad Anugraham, sixth canto. Then Sthiti Vaikuntha Vijayam, fifth canto. So in this way, then he said, Avadaranucharitam Hareshchasya Anuvartinam Sadam Ishakada Prokta Nana Khyanupa Brahmhida. Ninth canto, Ishanukatha. Then 10th canto, Nirodham. And 11th canto is Mukti. And 12th canto is Ashraya. So he has given the definition from verse 3 to end of this 9th verse. That's what he is doing. Third verse right up to the end of 9th verse. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those verses are explaining to us what each one of them means in Shuka Brahmarshi's words. Right? Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Udi, Manandaram, Ishanyakatha, Nirodham, Mukti, Ashrayam. They are explained in those verses from 3 to 9. You can see the 12th ashrayam is Egam Edarabhave Yada Nobalabhamahe Tadayam Tatrayo Veda Sa Alma Swashraya Ashraya. Right? Ashrayam spoken. And then in the same way, you can see the explanations there. Now here, that was Sri Shuka Brahmarshi's words. Here now Sudha Goswami is explaining in his way, his words, what that means. So that's why these differences. Sargosyada visargascha vritti rakshandarani cha vamsho vamshani jaridam samstha hedu abhashraya. He's saying there that these 10 symptoms, 10 lakshanam as it's called, Srishti, Visargam, Vritti, Raksha, Andarani. So the names are slightly changed from the second canto. Here it is Srishti, Visargam, Vritti, Raksha, Andarani, Vamsham, Vamshani Charidam, Samstha, Hetu, Abhashraya. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi used different words. Sudha Goswami used different words. But in essence it is the same thing. No difference. That much we should know. Actually, one should know these things in detail, because only then you can get little bit more deeply into Bhagavadam. That to know that when he is talking about ashrayam, what is 12th canto talking about ashrayam? What is ashrayam? So that ashrayam, first of what ashrayam itself is first spoken in the second canto. Again he is ashraying, again talking about ashrayam. Hetu apa ashraya, that ashrayam. That you will understand when we go through this further. So we'll have a short break now.
Chedo darpanam arjanam samahada vinuvavanam kaitava jandriya vidharanam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivartanam budipada purnam budaswadhanam sarvatma savanam vanam nijayde shri krishna sangeetanam nanamagari mahulam tatrarpidani hidasmaranena kalam edadushitava kripa bhagavan mamabhi Deva me drishamaha janinanu ragaha Nabishuni jena Tarodavi sahishruna Amanina manadena Ittaniya sadahari Nahanam janam sundayim Kavidamba jagadi shakamaye Najanmani janmani shvari Bhavadad bhakti ahi tugitvai Ayinandadanyu jagindaram Tadidamam shame bhavambudau Rubayato Bada Panga Jastila Duli Sadasham Vichindaya Mayanam Gala Shudaraya Vatanam Gadgada Yudhaya Gira Kadava Bhuktavanava Grahane Bharushani Yugaidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishaidam Shunyaidam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashleshava Padaradam Vinashtumama Darshanam Marmahadam Karotuva Yadhadava Vidada Vidambalo, Alprana Nathastuna Eva Napara, Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangeetanam,
Govinda
Govinda.
So, here, Sargasyadu Isargascha. This is the ten things what Sukha Brahmarshi spoke in the second canto. Here, different words he has used to say here. Sargasyadu visargascha vritti rakshandarani cha vamsham namshani charidam samstha hedu avashraya. Basically, it is the same words what Sukha Brahmarshi said there. Sudha Goswami used a different terminology to present it like that. So then, Dashabir Lakshane, he says it is the same ten symptoms. Dashabir Lakshane Yuktam Puranam Tadvido Vibhu Kejil Panchavidam Brahman Mahad Alpa Vyavasthaya. Tenth word. So he is saying there that some people, he said, in the same ten symptoms, like there it was said, sargam visargam sthanam poshanam udi manandaram ishanivada nirodham mukti ashrayam, the ten ones in the second canto. Sukha Brahmarshi said, here Sudha Goswami is saying, Sargasyam, Sargam Visargam Vritti Raksha Andarani Vamsham Vamshani Jaritam Samstha Hedu Avashraya. In that way, ten. Right? So when there is ten symptoms, it is called Mahapuranam. When there is five symptoms, it is called Puranam. So five symptoms are that means Sargam Pradisargam Vamsham Manandaram Vamshani Jaritam. When those five are present, it's called Puranam. But when all the Samstha, Hedu, Avashrayam, all of them are there, ten, then it is Mahapuranam. So Puranam and Mahapuranam, the difference he has spoken there. Ordinary Puranam means smaller Puranam. Mahapuranam means bigger ones, right? With the ten symptoms. Some people, he's saying, in the ten symptoms, the five symptoms are included. That means Mahad Alpam. For example, see, say, Dashabir Lakshane Yuktam Puranam Mahado Tadvido Vidu Kejil Panjavidam Brahman Mahad Alpa Vyavastaya. Mahad Alpa Vyavastha. Mahad Alpa Vyavastha means that big and small Purana Lakshana, big and small. For example, when the second canto, when Sukha Brahmarshi told Parikshit about the ten symptoms, he gave a small note there, like Udaya Karma Vasana, he will say. Karma Vasana is called Udi, and Udi is what is discussed in the seventh canto. So when Sukha Brahmarshi says Udi, and he gave a small note saying Karma Vasana, then you have to study the seventh canto and understand how that karma vasana is covered in the seventh canto. For example, what a seventh canto, just as one example, what a seventh canto is talking about. Seventh canto is talking about one thing. If you develop good vasana inside, sad vasana, you will advance spiritually. And if you develop bad vasana, you will degrade. That's all. That's to show the power of vasana. That means karma creates vasana, isn't it? Karma creates vasana. So karma, and therefore it's called karma vasana. So karma vasana is made into two categories, sad vasana and durvasana. If you develop good vasana, which is sad vasana, then you progress in the spiritual life. If you develop durvasana, you degrade yourself. For example, Hiranyakashipu developed durvasana. Therefore, he fell down from Vaikuntham to earthly planet. He came down here. He had to accept a material body and fall from Vaikuntham. Prahlada, due to sadvasana, he reached to reach the Sudalam, to a higher state. These are all to teach us that vasanas will cause fall down and vasana will elevate you also. Like Ajamila's case, they will say that due to good vasana, he standard the holy name Narayana. Juhava Narayana Namagam Sudal. He called Narayana and Vasana Belal, it says, due to the power of his vasana. So vasanas are there in everybody, and that good vasana, bad vasana, depending on the strength of that, we will go up or down. So that is called karma vasana. And the technical word for that is called udi. And udi is what is discussed in the seventh canto. In a similar way, all the ten cantos, and they're all given with one word, nirodham, mukti, ashrayam. Like this, Shukha Brahmarshi has given a word for every canto. And he also said with a little note, to tell us what is nirodham means, what does mukti means, what does ashrayam means. Like that, every canto he has given a note in the second canto. Here, our Sudha Goswami also is doing exactly the same thing. And he is saying that what I have heard in my own language, it is like this. He said, sargam visargam, he has used the same, vritti, raksha, vamsham, vamshani jaridam, samstha, hedu, avashrayam. So these ten words are referring to the same thing what Shukha Brahmarshi used in the second canto. They are not different. That's what it is. So then he is saying here that in the second canto, when he said, when Shukha Brahmarshi said, from third canto onwards it starts. Which one? Sargam, Visargam, Sanam, Poshnam, Udi, like that. 12th canto is the Ashrayam. And what our Sudha Goswami is saying here, that those 10 things what Shukha Brahmarshi has spoken, it may appear as though I am saying it in a different way. But he says, no, I am not. What it is he is saying here is that the symptoms of every canto is exactly the same what Shukha Brahmarshi has spoken, what I am also saying. He is saying, putting it like this, right? So, if you look at those words, in the 11th verse, you see, avyagrata gunakshobham mahadas trivrado hama bodha matrendriyarthanam sambhavam sargam uchyade. You see, what is sargam in Shukha Brahmarshi's words is exactly the same. He hasn't used the same words. What he is saying here, that avyagrata gunakshobham mahadas trivrado hama bodha matrendriyarthanam sambhavam sargam uchyade. When the three gunam, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, are there, prior to that, there is this pradhanam, mahatattvam. Pradhanam gets agitated, and due to these three modes of material nature, and then mahatattvam, ahankaram, tanmatra, indriya, devada, material elements, they are all created. When pradhanam get agitated by the three modes of material nature, sattvam, rajogunam, tamogunam, from that mahatattvam, the three kinds of ahangaram, satya ahangaram, rajasa ahangaram, tamasa ahangaram, and then pancha tanmatras, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, then five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, and then the predominating deities, and five bodha, pancha bodham. All of those things, creation of all these things is called sargam. It's called sargam. And that's the same thing what he has used here. But he's explaining that avyahrata gunakshobam mahadas trivridohara bodha matrendriyarthanam sambhavam sargam uchyate. That's called sargam. Right? So, avyagratam. Avyagratam means not in the manifested form, unmanifested form. Avyagratam. From there, gunakshobham. That means the three modes become agitated. Samabhavam, vishamabhavam. Samabhavam means when they are in a balanced state. Vishamabhavam means when the modes of nature are agitated. So at that time mahatattvam is created, and then mahatattvam turns into three, trivratam. Trivratam means turns into three. Satyam, rajasam, and turns becomes ahangaram. Satyam ahangaram, rajas ahangaram, tamas ahangaram. From there, five material elements, five tanmatras, senses, all the senses, devadas have all come. And this we have heard before. So the explanation of all these things is called sargam, basically. So it's the same thing. That means from a peaceful state, avyahrata means peaceful state, that means everything is one at that stage. These differences don't exist. Mahatattvam, ahantattvam, and ahangaram, tanmatra, indriyam, devada, material elements, they didn't exist. Everything is one at that time. From that oneness, this breakup has happened. And then what happened? Me came and the world came. Prior to that, there is not many, only one. That one has broken up when the sargam happened. And with the sargam, that one thing has broken into all these different things. Which one turned into mahatattvam, ahangaram, tanmatra, indriyam, devada, and sthula bhudam, pancha bhudam, all these things, right? So, that's that. So from one, it broken up into many. And then we say, and this is also spoken in another way, from Lord Brahma has come from Vishnu. That's also the same thing spoken in a different way. Next one is Visargam. And if you look at the 12th verse, Purushanu Grihidanam Edesham Vasanamayam Visargoyam Samaharo Bijal Bijam Characharam. That is the 12th verse. Purushanu Grihidanam Edesham Vasanamayam Visargoyam Samaharo Bijal Bijam Characharam. He is saying there that that this all what has been created, right, through sargam, what has been created, when vasana came to into it, vasanamaya. Vasanamaya means that at that stage there is no vasana. You know what I mean? Vasana means. Vasana means that vasana started with karma. When they broke up into these different entities, like the way it is said, right? Mahatattvam, ahangaram, tanmatra, indriyam, devada, sularupam, and all that. Then karmam started. When karmam started, vasana came. When vasana came, interaction began in a different way. So what he is saying here is that these things, how they were influenced by the vasana, influenced due to the vasana, and just like from one seed, another seed comes due to vasana. So, and in that way it keeps expanding in the form of this creation. That is Visargam. So you know the difference between Sargam and Visargam. Where Sargam finishes, where Visargam begins. And it is from Sargam Visargam happens. So Sargam, after a particular stage, Sargam finished, and then Visargam begins from there. Visargam starts, right? And all this is happening, Purushanu Grihidanam Edesham Vasanamayam. because of the presence of Purusha. Otherwise, Atma, Brahma, Krishna, whichever way you want to call that. Right? So, Sargam, Visargam, both of them, in another way it is spoken in the Bhagavatam is that creation of Brahma is called Sargam, and then Brahma's creation is called Visargam. That's another way of saying that. Same thing. Was this the same thing? Creation of Brahma is Sargam, and Brahma's creation, everything else is Visargam. Right? So, if you say like that, it's a bit easier to understand that way. So, for example, dream is Sargam. Dream is Sargam. But in the dream, you are dreaming about something else in the dream. That's Visargam. Dream is Sargam. But in the dream, what you are dreaming is Visargam. That means, from a peaceful state, there is a... we are in a peaceful state. At that time, creation is not there. In our spiritual state, in a realized state, creation is not there. From that state, we are coming into a situation, creation is there. The existence of creation. That's called Sargam. That means, in our pure state, consciousness, when we are pure consciousness, there is no creation. So from that consciousness state, we feel the creation has happened, is a Sargam. Is Sargam, right? And after creation, the creation has happened, that means the Mahatattva, Mahangaram, everything else. From there, it expands further, and then we start feeling all the Namarupam here, all the different species here, and we are all interacting each other. That's all Visargam. That's all Visargam. So Sargam, Visargam, you have to understand. In several ways it's spoken, explained that in the Puranam. And all of them are valid. It all means to the same thing. So similarly, from one consciousness, pure consciousness, we get jivas coming. The same consciousness is changing into jiva, jiva form. That is called Sargam. Jiva form is Sargam. And after that jiva has taken all these different forms of human being, birds, bees, animals, plants, trees, all these things, and goes through in all these different, goes through different species at different times, that's Visargam. Now you get the point, what it is, right? In its original form, it's pure consciousness. Consciousness turns into jiva. That's Sargam, right? That means we have fallen from that pure state. In consciousness we are one. There's only one here. And that one is becoming many. That's when it becomes jiva. Jiva bhava. We all become jivas. People ask, when did this jiva was born? How did jiva fall? You will find all these questions in the websites. They are discussing this, isn't it? So, these things are too subtle to understand. And nobody keeps an account of all these things. Jivas are always falling and jivas are also going back all the time. So, which one are you talking about? Which jiva? From the questions you get a feeling that all the jivas have fallen at a particular time. See our mind, how it works. But if you think a little bit, jivas are always falling. Always jivas are coming. And always jivas are going back also. So, to take a statistics of all these things is useless, isn't it? What does it help? How does it help your spiritual life? But there is a lot of discussion about it. When did the jiva fall? This Maharaj said this, that Maharaj said that. And then a lot of arguments mutually, and then it's not getting anywhere. No answer. At the end, the jivas fall. So, but I'm trying to see this way, that from, we had a situation where creation didn't exist, when we were pure consciousness. At that time, creation didn't exist. From that state, we accepted there is thing called the creation. Mithya prabhanjam. That's why we say creation is not real. For this reason only in Vedantam they say creation is not real. Because you have fallen from that. If you started feeling the existence of a creation, and that state is called Sargam. Sargam has happened, right? And from there, in that creation you became absorbed and you started thinking we have already accepted creation is real. And in this real creation, we are feeling different names and forms, different living entities, in all different bodies and all different races and all kinds of things, isn't it? So that is called Visargam. Visargam, right? So, when we go back, it is the reverse order. We will go back to the one again. We have to go back. We pass through all these different species, and then eventually we start becoming more and more and knowledgeable about these things, and we become more and more inward looking. At that time we were going back in the same way, like the way we came and came to this situation, right? And if you think like that, you will understand the difference between Sargam and Visargam. Sargam, Visargam, difference, right? So creation begins means Sargam, and the diversities in the creation is Visargam. Right? So creation itself is Sargam, and the diversity in the creation is Visargam. So when one gets liberated, he goes back from Visargam to Sargam, and eventually he goes out of Sargam also. He becomes one with his pure consciousness. At that time, no Sargam, no Visargam. So Sarga Visargam is explanation like this in these verses. Avyagrata Gunakshobam Mahasas Mahadas Trivirudohamam Buddha Matra Indriyarthanam Sambhavam Sargam Uchyate Purushanu Grihidanam Edesham Vasanamayam Visargoyam Samaharo Bijal Bijam Characharam. Bijal Bijam Characharam is saying there. So, and then he is saying after that, so Srishti, creation begins with Sargam. And this diversity, what you find here is Visargam. Is Visargam, right? So, that means at one time everything is one, right? But when I became me, you like that, from that oneness we lost that identity. I started thinking of me as me separately from others, and you are thinking yourself separately from others, every one of us, that is Visargam. That is so that is Sargam. Sorry, that's Sargam. That is from I lose my oneness with everything. You know when we talk about Shuga Brahma Shri Tam Sarvabhuta Hridayam Muni Manadosmi, he is in that oneness state. From oneness state, when you start seeing yourself separate from others, that means you have come to Sargam. You have to come to Sargam. So from Visargam you go to Sargam, and then you move away from there to that oneness, Advaitam. That's Advaitam. It's okay. And that me, after I have become me, separately, individual, jiva, then I go through different bodies. That's all Visargam. Bird, beast, aquatics, trees, plants, creepers, and human species, demon, devotee. That's all Visargam. That's all Visargam. That means, by now what has happened? Ragadvesham has come. These bodies we are getting, different bodies, due to what? Due to Ragadvesham. Right? Once Ragadvesham has come, then we have to accept different bodies. That's when different bodies comes. Right? So, and then we are experiencing Visargam at that time. Right? If you can think all these things, what we have now spoken, put them all together and you will get a very clear picture of what Sargam and Visargam means. In various ways it is spoken. Various ways. Jiva Bhavam. Then in the way it is spoken that this diversity is in the Visargam. Similarly between dream state, in the dream state. And from the peaceful state, how this creation of this world has come. All this is Sargam. All this is Sargam. And then again, of course, Brahma's creation is Sargam. And afterwards, everything Brahma created is Visargam. So, in so many different ways it's spoken in the Puranam. So that, but if you put them all together, you will find what it all means. Right? That means from oneness, pure consciousness, Brahman, from there we fell, and that is Sargam first. And from that Sargam, Visargam happened later. Yeah? So, that is it. So, because only after I got my identity as me, aham, I am, that ahankaram has come, ahankaram has come, right? It is after that I am getting many other identities later. Father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, man, woman, all other identities is after I get this identity as me, right? And in that itself, for example, after I have become me in this body, and then I am seeing myself in different roles, isn't it, in life, in different roles, old man, young man, employed, unemployed, or engineer, doctor, or husband, wife, or Indian-American, or white man, black man, or like this, so many, different Hindu, Muslim, all this is Visargam. All that is Visargam, right? So, from once you have come to this world with your stamp, I am, into this world, right? It creates a different world for us here. In this world itself, we create individual world of our own. Many, many worlds we create here, right? And and all of them, that is called Visargam. Is called, so both Sargam and Visargam are very interesting topics. But there is a difference between Sargam and Visargam. That we should know. Where Visargam begins and where Sargam ends. And Visargam can go on expanding to any extent. Unbelievable. So, similarly, initially when we are one with Krishna. In that sense, that there's only one, isn't it? From that identity we lost and we became a jiva. And that jiva then create vasana. And according to that vasana, it will enter into another world. For example, suppose we are a jiva. Imagine, we are all jiva, agree, we are all jivas, right? But every jiva has got a different ragadvesham inside. Right? And that will depend upon the vasana. So, say one who is influenced by anger, krodham, or one is influenced by lobham, greed. One is influenced by different illusions, moham, different desires come. So, all these different individuals, with these different emotions, they live in different worlds. Right? They live in different worlds. One who is greedy, he is after money. One who is lusty, he is after sense enjoyment. And one who is angry, he is in another world altogether. So all these different worlds what we create individually, it's all Visargam. It's all Visargam. Right? So, Jiva, based on its vasanas, entering to these different worlds is called Visargam. It's called Visargam. So it is on these explanations. The planets are also spoken. We say seven higher, seven lower, 14 planetary systems we talk about. Bhulogam, Borlogam, Surlogam, Janalogam, Tavologam, Satyalogam, upward. Lowards, Adalam, Vidalam, Sudalam, Taladalam, Rasadalam, Mahatalam, Patalam. These seven words up and seven words down is spoken based on this concept. Do not look, first time when you read Bhagavatam, you are thinking, oh, there are seven planets upstairs. We are not seeing them. Scientists are saying they don't exist. We are saying they exist. So, they can't find it, so they reject the whole thing. But you must understand this, that jiva from that oneness, when it has lost that identification with pure consciousness, and then jiva fell into this vasanas created, vasana created several worlds, and on that concept these planets were created, on that understanding. So all of them are anubhavatalam. Anubhavatalam means in your experience level they exist. Like Vaikuntham is an experience level. What Vaikuntham means, that is why when you read, this is the important part, that when you read Puranam, when questions comes like this, for example, Hiranyakashipu went to Vaikuntham, did he not? Looking for Krishna. He couldn't find him. So you say that Hiranyakashipu fell from Vaikuntham here, and then he went back on his soul, then he came back again here. You can ask that question, is it not? So that means, you shouldn't think of these things on a physical plane. You must always think in the experience plane. That in Vaikuntham experience, what Hiranyakashipu was searching for, and then Mahavishnu says there, that he came looking for me here, he couldn't find me here. So I went and stayed inside his heart, he couldn't find me there, because I knew he won't search for me there. So all these explanations in the Bhagavatam is to teach us that anubhavatalam, in experience level, what happens matters. But when you start the story first time, when you're hearing Bhagavatam, it is all in the story form. And so it's interesting to hear the story. Hiranyakashipu went there. And then we will ask, and there is in the Bhagavatam, we'll see, he went to the Indra's planet, and when he saw there Indra's throne, he kicked it with his boot. Hiranyakashipu kicked the whole throne with his leg to show to Indra, you are nothing in front of me. We find that interesting. And when we find that, because we have ragadvesham inside, we also like somebody else getting kicked. You'll see in people all this nature. So the rishis are playing with our emotions, basically. So when we saw that Hiranyakashipu goes there and gives a few kicks to Indra there, and Indra runs away from there, he has no place to go anywhere else. And so all the demigods, it says in the Bhagavad, they were eating, they had no food to eat. And they are in the heavenly planets. They had no food to eat. Vayu Bhakshagaha, he says. They were eating the air and moving around everywhere without no food. They were starving, basically. So like this, Puranam way of saying is to make it as a story and make it more attractive. But also the principles are important. That all these planets do exist in that level, in the subtle form we exist there, but not in a gross form. You won't be able to understand that. So all of them are experience level, anubhavatalam, right? And in these different levels of anubhavam, different levels of experience, you will go up and you will come down. That is visargam, right? After saying these 14 planetary systems, the jiva keeps can go up. Bhulokam, swargalokam, say for example, you have done a lot of pious activities, you can go to the heavenly planets. That means you have gone up, swargalokam. And it so happened in the Swargalokam also, you got some good salsangam, association with rishis, and you developed further spiritually, you go up again. That means you are going to another world, Maharlokam. And then you go to Janalokam, then you go to Tapolokam, then you go to Brahma's planet, Satyalokam. You can go like that. On the other hand, you can also go down, Adalam, Sudalam, Taladalam, Rasadalam, Mahadalam, Taladalam, Padalam, like that. Lower, you can go right up to the Padalam also, the lower planetary systems, right? So all that is all this moving of the jiva from here to up to the higher planetary system and the lower planetary system is visargam. It's all visargam, right? So so a person is sleeping, right? A person is sleeping. While sleeping, I am not there. As soon as I woke up, I have come. I have arrived, isn't it? In the morning when you wake up, right? As soon as I am woken up, there is a world around me. When I am sleeping, there is no world. When I am woken up, there is a world around me, right? From that day, from waking up from that morning, till you go back to sleep again in the night, you travel through several worlds, different worlds, is it not? According to your experiences here. Sometimes in a happy world, sometimes in a distressed world, sometimes in an anger world, sometimes in a lusty world, sometimes in a greedy world, sometimes in different illusions, you observe yourself in your daily life, how many worlds you are passing through every single day. Everybody knows that, is it not? A little bit of subtle way if you think. One day you feel, you are feeling good about everything, things are normal. You feel there's not much things disturbing you. You have some taste for Bhagavadam, some taste for Krishna consciousness. And another day, so much illusion in the head has come. And so much involved in the world, you feel. And so much agitation in the mind, upset about people, upset about various things what happened, lamenting about things what happened in life, hankering after so many. So every day you observe yourself and you will see how you are living, passing through different world every day. But all this disappears when you go into the deep sleep in the night. But in the morning, when you were born with this ahankaram as me, then you start passing through the world and you go through several worlds throughout the day, and in the night you come out of all the world and go back to your original state as the oneness. You go back. So the whole day is visargam going through. Visargam. So seeing yourself in these different worlds is is that, so waking up from the sleep in the morning is sargam, but passing through all the world is visargam. You know how sargam visargam is spoken in so many different ways, so that you get it what it is. You will be able to say every time what is sargam and visargam. We should get that fineness to say what sargam visargam means. So, waking up from the morning, that means from your steady state, avyahradam state, where unmanifested state that was in the deep sleep, unmanifested. You don't know, you don't exist at that time. From there, your existence has established with the waking up. Aham, I am born. That's sargam. Right? And everything else what you have done throughout the day and passed through is visargam. Right? You can only explain sargam visargam in these different ways so that you get a clear understanding of that. And it is important to know this. This part what you have now spoken is important, because when liberation happens, it is the reverse process. From visargam to sargam and sargam to oneness, going back to the individual, right? So truth is one, and it becomes Beda Bhavana. Beda Bhavana comes in Visargam. When Beda Bhavana comes, Sargam also. That's why I have separated myself from the truth. That's Beda Bhavana. And then I have separated, that is Beda Bhavana. Then I became many when I passed through different worlds. That means my Beda Bhavana has increased, isn't it? First of all, Beda Bhavana separated me from the truth, oneness. I separated and I became me, aham, jiva. And then this jiva passed through so many things and took different bodies, different identities, even with the one body itself. All that is Beda Bhavana, Beda Buddhi. That is what it has created, right? Beda Bhavana. Now, when all this Beda Bhavana goes away, when this all Beda Bhavana goes away, and it becomes started going back in the reverse order, that's what we are talking about. Krishna is saying the same thing to us in a different way in the Ekadasha Skandam, isn't it? That Samadrik, he is saying. What does Samadrik means? Beda Bhavana going away, right? When Beda Bhavana goes away, that is Samadrik. Remember? When he said Samadrik, what did he say? In the 7th chapter, 11th canto, he begins Ekadasha Skandam with that. Samadrik, Vijara Sogam. Yeah, that verse. What is that? Tuntu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Sojana Bandushu May Aveshya Mana Samyak Samadrik. That state is the one when you are going back. The first thing is, visargam is you are throwing away. Visargam, you are expanding. And Samadrik is reverse order. Veda Bhavana going away. You can't see everybody different. And for that he has told us, Praname Dandavad Bhumau Ashwachandala Gokaram. Visarjas Mayamanan Swan Grisham Vridanja Dehigim. Praname Dandavad Bhumau Ashwachandala Gokaram. Try to connect all these things together, then you will get a very clear picture of what liberation means. What is actually holding us back from not getting liberated, now you know what that is. Isn't it? Visarjas Mayamanan San Grisham Vridanja Dehigim. Pranamam Dandavad Bhumau Ashwachandala Gokaram. He said that in the 28th or 28th chapter. So, in the same way here, that so that Veda Bhavana, what has happened from becoming a Jiva first, from that oneness, we lost our spiritual identity. We become Jiva. And in that Jiva itself, many, many differences, what we find, and that is Visargam. That is Visargam. So, that is what two things he is saying here in the 11th verse. Avyagrada gunakshobham mahadas trivrdo mahama trivrdo hama buddha matra indriyarthanam sambhavam sargamuchyade purushanu grihidanam edesham vasanamayam visargoyam samaharo bijal bijam characharam. So these two verses, 11 and 12, is what we have spoken now. These different ways of seeing sargam visargam. You have to listen to this again if you want, have time, and then look at the verses and you will get a clearer understanding of what sargam visargam means. Shuka Brahmarshi, in his rush in the beginning, he did not go too much into detail like the way Sudha Goswami is doing here. There he used one word for sargam, one word for visargam, one word for sthanam. Like that, in 3-4 verses he covered the whole thing. So that is why Bhagavatam needs explanations. You have to go and listen to from people with who have this detailed understanding, and when you listen to them, it will all make sense. Otherwise, what will happen if you don't study it like this way, you will not go away. It will all look very French. Or what is it? Dutch, isn't it? Double Dutch or something. It will look double Dutch to us. When you don't understand it this way. That's why this is the way to understand Bhagavatam. Everything with examples and with explanations. In that way, because Sudha Goswami also hasn't got much time. He is also limited with his time. But when he said this, Avyagrada Gunakshomam Mahadas Trivrdo Mahamam Buddha Matra Indriyarthanam Sambhavam Sargamuchare. He finished with that. Purushanu Grahidanam Edesham Vasanamayam Visargoyam Samaharo Bijal Bijam Characharam. So we'll stop it here today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, I'm looking.